going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Red Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Bigs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you know the story. The Bears completed their draft, and they walked away with 8 players, 3 of whom they took in the second round. What is your take on the Bears draft?
Yeah, when you get half your draft in the top 2 rounds, you ought to feel like you're going to have some impact players coming in to help you improve not only competition and depth, but starters. Like these guys, maybe it doesn't happen right away, but there's been drafts in the not too distant past where you've looked at it and you said, yeah, well, they got all these guys, but wait a minute, like most of them are round 5 or later. These are some big picks for Ryan Poles, for Ben Johnson, and you would hope that they get benefits from these new players sooner rather than later.
When you look at Ozzie Trapillo from Boston College, he's primarily a right tackle, or at least he has been the last couple of years. How do you envision him fitting into that situation you just described?
Well, I think you're looking at him at right tackle to start with. Really, really massive individual. If you get him out on the grass and you feel like he can move maybe better than you expected, perhaps you dabble with him at left tackle. But I don't think you want to give a new player too much to try to accomplish from the get-go. You want to make it not as simple as you can for them, but you want to put these young players in a position to have some success, build confidence, and move forward.
Who, in your opinion, we've got a lot of people checking in, was the head coach referring to Ben Johnson when he said that they turned up the notch or dialed up the notch or turned the notch a dial, whatever way he put it. Who was he talking about? He was talking about Cole Kmet, obviously. A lot of people speculating, was he talking about DJ Moore?
Yeah, I don't know that he was talking about Cole Kmet. Like, look, they're going to run if what Ben Johnson did previously in Detroit is a loose guideline for what you're going to see here they're going to run a lot of personnel with two tight ends. You need two of them. So did he? Does that turn up the heat on Cole? Like, yeah, there's been so much hand-wringing over the dip in production in the passing game from Cole Kmet this past season, and I really struggle to put a lot of the blame on Cole. I'm looking more at the coordinators. I'm looking some at the quarterback, you know, maybe reticent at times to throw the ball over the middle or get to some of the secondary reads. So I know it's been popular and it's been sport to kind of be critical of Cole Kmet, but you got to understand he's a wide tight end. Okay, he's not this pass catching tight end that isn't really involved in your running game. He's a wide tight end with significant upside in the passing game. So his numbers are never going to look like Brock Bowers with the Raiders or something. He's not that kind of player, but he can be involved in the running game, and I think they still value him pretty highly there. In fact, I know they do. DJ Moore, yeah, that's interesting. I wondered that a little bit, Mully, with the selection of Luther Burden. You know, hopefully it's all of them. Hopefully it's Roschon Johnson, and hopefully it's any of the offensive linemen that are kind of in the mix. So hopefully they bring in a couple undrafted players and just be throwing a dart at the board right now. But hopefully they bring in a couple undrafted guys that are pushing for a spot at the back end of that roster as a backup in the secondary or a backup at another spot where they could have an impact on special teams.
Your point about Cole Kmet's a good one, Brad. I think what Mully's getting to or alluding to is the same thing I wondered as well. When you look at his role on this team, nobody is diminishing how important he can be and what he is in terms of a leader in that locker room. But he's also among the top 10 highest paid tight ends in the league. That's a lot of money, $9.9 million next year for somebody who you just described as a supplemental piece, maybe a complementary piece to your passing game. That's usually what you pay a guy who is your primary target on third and five or in the red zone. And he's not that guy. So I do wonder moving forward.
He was that guy, Dave, in 2023 when he had, what, I want to say 7 touchdown catches. I believe, like he has been that guy in the past. And again, he's not gonna light the world on fire in comparison to some of these other tight ends. He's not gonna go out there and have 105 catches for 1,100 yards. But he can be that guy on third and five. He's proven to be effective in the red zone, and it's gonna be up to the coaching staff and the quarterback to find a way to greatly utilize Cole Kmet, Colston Loveland, all the wide receivers, the running backs. Like, it's a good problem to have, but they've got to prove they can do that this year where they failed miserably at this a year ago.
That's a good point. Good answer. Just, he's the fifth option in the passing game.
Yeah, right. You know, and I got to ask you, Brad, when
your wide tight end shouldn't be the first option. So
let me ask you about Loveland in particular, because we talked to Olin on Saturday, and he said that they never really used him in line during last year at Michigan because he had this shoulder injury, which was clearly causing him issues, that you could see him wincing and grabbing at the shoulder at different times. He played the year with this injury. He has had surgery on his shoulder. Do you know what his time frame is? In other words, when he comes in and if he will be ready to go right away? And I'm just curious, could he be used? I mean, I know they're going to take advantage of the mismatch on the outside and he's going to be stretching the seam, but could they even use him differently in terms of an inline player eventually here because of his age? He's barely 21, and he's going to be getting bigger and stronger.
Yeah, in terms of the injury, I think we could see him running routes and doing stuff here. They don't want him having any contact and
right.
the rules say you're not supposed to have any contact in these off-season settings. I think we're all cognizant of the fact that sometimes things get elevated in terms of competition for first-year head coaches in some of these non-contact sessions. Remember the Bears, I believe they got penalized during Matt Eberflus' first year for a little too much contact. But they want to steer clear of that with Loveland, I think, to have him fully cleared in advance of training camp. Like, no concern that he won't be ready to go there. And I think you make a good point that, like, and I believe the feeling is that this guy, because of his frame and sort of his temperament and demeanor, they believe that he could be an asset as a blocker moving forward. Like, that's an area where you can coach a player up. Some of the other stuff that Colston Loveland does that sets him apart, that made him the first tight end drafted in this class, the position coach can't coach. Like, it's the athletic ability combined with the size and movement skills. Like, that's good luck coaching that up. But improving as a blocker, being more effective in that area, absolutely. I think they can get significantly better with Colston Loveland in that phase.
Brad, what did you think of the way Ryan Poles explained being sort of boxed out of selecting a running back? And how realistic is it to expect Kyle Menungai from Rutgers in the seventh round to contribute?
Yeah, you wanted to get a running back that was going to fit what you were looking for, right? In a loaded running back class. And I believe they like Travion Henderson an awful lot. And he goes the pick before to New England. And when the draft had ended Thursday night, round one, I looked at it. I said, well, who's in front of the Bears? You know, how could this shake out? And I thought the Patriots maybe were the only team that would go with a running back there at the very top of round two. And that ended up happening. There's probably some other backs in there they liked a little bit, but Menungai, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, he's a guy that I think has a chance. I really do. Like, this could be their best seventh round pick since Charles Leno, and the bar's low for with some of those guys that have been drafted since Leno. But I think when you look at opportunity for starters, and then you consider what this guy did at Rutgers for that program. I talked with a national scout from another team, and this is going back to probably late March, guys. And we're talking about players. We're spending some time going over a variety of different positions. And I got to running back, and I said, who could be a tone setter that doesn't play at Ohio State or Boise State? And he rattled off a couple names, wasn't some crazy long list. And he said, I don't know where he's going to get drafted, but I love the kid from Rutgers. And he said, wow. You know, he's gonna make somebody's roster and find a way to contribute positively. Team. So, I didn't know anything about him. I don't watch a lot of, lower tier Big Ten football, which I think is where Rutgers is at. But
ouch,
he did real well there, and I think he's got a shot, Dave.
I love it,
Brad. You do watch some Mizzou football.
Yeah, you do.
What did you actually take part in that hug fest they had when they drafted that kid?
Or was it just a fist pump?
Were you just off camera hugging?
I was surprised.
Kevin Warren.
I was surprised they went with a wide receiver there. I hope the plan works. Right? There's one football. There's a lot of mouths to feed. However you want to slice it up, I hope it works out. He's super dynamic as a sophomore at Missouri in 2023, and had a significant impact as a true freshman. Right? I mean, that was a recruiting coup to land him, and then the production and the numbers really dipped this past season. The quarterback struggled. Regressed. The quarterback had a series of injuries. They played a backup that was terrible. So the numbers don't look nearly as impressive as they do from his sophomore season. But, I mean, he's made some huge plays against some really good college defenses.
I seem to recall somebody doing some sort of a dance when Justin Gage was once drafted out of Mizzou.
Wow.
Did you have any?
He was a pretty good player. No, I had no reaction. I was more surprised than anything just that they went with a wide receiver when you looked at it and you said, what about an edge rusher?
Right, right.
Yeah. So, late in the draft, you know, I thought Roschon Johnson was one of the real winners for players on the roster, right? Just like whose position is a little bit better than maybe it could have been coming out of this draft. And I think you look at Austin Booker, right? Maybe now he's going to actually be a winner. He's got to go out and be a better and more productive player this season. But in terms of opportunity and not getting knocked down a peg or two, it's sitting there for him, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and that's a good point. I look at the other guy coming into the defensive line room, Shamar Turner from Texas A&M, and I wonder, Brad, who does he threaten in terms of playing time or a roster spot?
I don't think he threatens anyone because if you're doing it right, you're keeping those guys fresh, right? And one of the things that maybe the Falcons were guilty of last year was playing Grady Jarrett too much, especially coming off an ACL the year before. Those are big guys that can wear down. Zach Pickens was going to face a real challenge to make this roster without Shamar Turner coming on board probably. So I just think getting Shamar Turner in a situation where, you know, maybe he can observe Grady Jarrett and how he goes about his craft in the meeting room, in the weight room, on the practice field, and things of that nature. That's really smart because physically, he sort of profiles the same way. And Grady Jarrett has been a fantastic player in this league. That fantastic part of that career is probably not going to stretch too much longer. The Bears signed him to a 3-year deal that really, when you look at it, it's like two. And if he's, you know, defying old man in time, maybe he gets to that third season. But Turner, athletic, can create havoc in the middle of the pocket. And they certainly have had a need for that. So I like that move a lot. And he's a guy that, listen, without that shin fracture, stress fracture that he played on pretty much all last season, he's a guy that could have been drafted at the very top of round two. And there was discussion last summer, he's a guy whose name you would have heard as a potential pick somewhere in round one. So they got a guy that coming off that 6-sack season he had the previous season, he was hot for scouts to get a look at.
Brad, we were talking earlier about the fact that the Bears came out of a draft the last 2 years and signed a defensive end 1 year and then traded for a guy to help him as a defensive end. Is that the new running back position? Could you see, I don't know who, someone older, maybe injured, whether it's someone like Chubb or J.K. Dobbins, could you see the Bears picking up some help at running back in order to kind of fuel the play action game?
And potentially, you know, a lot of people have talked about Chubb. I mean, he had a brutal, brutal knee injury there in 2023. Yep. His production last year wasn't very good. I'm not going to pretend like I've watched a lot of Nick Chubb from the action that he did have this past season, but I don't think you'd be getting the Nick Chubb that everybody likes to think about. I would look at running back as one of those positions, Molly. Possibly safety, although kind of never mentioned in this safety discussion is Elijah Hicks, who they still have, who has played a pretty good amount in terms of a backup. And I believe it's possible that them coming out of this draft without a safety at least says a little something. About the confidence that they have in him to go out and perform That safety position is one where you could potentially see a small handful of players with other teams released in the coming 2-3 weeks. You could go out and get a guy if you needed one. So I would kind of bundle those two positions together as ones to maybe keep an eye on a little bit. But I don't think they have to go out and get a Dobbins or a Chubb. I'd be really interested in seeing what Kyle Manungai can do, you know, how the new coaching staff feels about Roschon Johnson. Remember, the front office loved Roschon when they got him in here.
Okay.
And for a variety of reasons, including injury, he didn't get on the field a whole lot this past season. But what do the coaches think about the guys you've got first?
You surprised me today, Brad.
Great
Thanks.
Stuff.
Good stuff.
Thank you, Bigsy.
It's always good stuff, Dave. You got to be a little more open-minded.
I am very open-minded, Brad. I'm just glad that you are. So, good stuff. Thank you,
Brad. That's great stuff.
Have a great day, guys.
Hey, listen up, Chicago. We have a major score announcement coming up this morning at 9:45 a.m. during transition. Do not miss this huge news. Again, that's today at 9:45 on The Score and the Odyssey app.
Talking to Bruce when we get back.
We'll be right back with Bruce, Mully, and Hall on The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce has the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Time now to go out to our Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Bruce Levine. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. Can either one of you play third base?
Well, that's a good question and a good place to start. Craig Counsell minced no words after the game last night, Bruce. You were there. Bruhan has a ground ball. Trey Turner is the runner. He goes to first. Should know better. The bases are loaded. Do something else. Do anything else. It just underscored how the Cubs are limited at that position. Gage Workman wasn't it. He's gone. Now you have Bruhan. Now you have Nicky Lopez. Now, what do you have when you have four third basemen? You don't have one. What are they going to do there?
Well, you know, you keep hearing that they're saving the position for Matt Shaw. Okay. Personally, you know, we all like Matt Shaw. We think he has a nice future ahead of him. I don't know when that's going to be. Is it 3 weeks? Is it 6 weeks? Is it a month? We don't know that because, you know, there's work that he has to do down there. He had a decent weekend as far as hitting goes. He needs to make some changes there. But, you know, waiting for a rookie who doesn't really have, you know, a lot of minor league experience, probably not the way to go. Making a trade more difficult right now. You want to make a move. You know, are you really serious about Cardinals and Arenado? Are you looking at Ryan McMahon of Colorado? These are all things that, you know, talking to Carter Hawkins yesterday, they're prepared for all these things. It just happens to be April. Not many other teams are prepared to make a move.
It's good to talk about Gage Workman because obviously he becomes the third Rule 5 player now on the White Sox. It seems like a good way for them to sort of take advantage of the lack of talent they have on the roster, the lack of guys ready to play. It allows them to kind of raid other teams' minor league systems a little bit. I was really pleased to see them sign him, and I thought it was interesting when Craig Counsell said, you know, really hard to be a Rule 5 player on a team with the Cubs' ambition, the kind of team they are, and I would imagine a lot easier now that there are three on the White Sox.
Well, you're the one that called it last week when he was, you know, DFA'd that, you know, this makes the most sense. You know, we pointed out that the White Sox would have the first shot at Workman. He, you know, looked really good in spring training, but, you know, there's a lack of experience. And, you know, there's a sign up on the south side at 35th and Shields that says, you know, we're looking for people to work here. And it also says opportunities, good opportunities here in Chicago with the White Sox. And that's what they are. Look, I told you guys to open maybe in spring training last year that this is more like an expansion team. And Mike, you just, you know, explained it, that as an expansion team, the way the White Sox are built right now, there are a lot of openings. And the way they're going about it with young players, finding them in other places, it's a good way to go. It's a painful way to go for the White Sox fan base to watch this and wait for development and hope for, you know, the Caros and people like that to come up and show some real ability and the chance to play every day and be productive. But that's where they're at. There's no getting around it.
Bruce, do you think that Craig Counsell has been more direct this year in terms of his player assessments as he was against Saturday and calling Ben Brown, saying he just needs to be better? And what are they going to do about Ben Brown? Yeah, he looks promising, and he can go six scoreless against the Dodgers, but in other nights like against the Phillies, he just has something that is missing for him to stay in games and give him a chance.
Yeah, I'll answer the Brown part first, then we'll go back to the Counsell. I would just say, you know, you need a third pitch, right? He has two really good pitches. He's got a 97-mile-an-hour fastball, and he's got a knuckle curve that, as you saw in the first three innings against the Phillies on Saturday night, was pretty much unhittable when he's able to place it. I just think there's not a lot of pitchers that can pitch just with two pitches in the major leagues. He threw one changeup. You know, he's been working on a changeup since spring training. I talked to Hawkins and to Tommy Hadovy about this before the game yesterday. And they said, hey, look, you know, he's still a working in progress. He's still going to get better. He has a terrific arm. We're going with this kid. But, you know, again, when you're the manager of the team and you're getting four innings or three and two-thirds and then before that, you know, you got four innings, your bullpen, you know, gets destroyed as far as innings go, and you really have a problem the next couple of games. It's not just that game that you either win or lose. It's the product of, you know, those short innings and how it impacts the rest of your week.
Bruce, I'm confused as to why the White Sox keep sticking with Andrew Vaughn. What is he hitting now? Like 155 or something? He's not hitting his weight. As opposed to bringing up Tim Elko. Elko has really started to dominate in Triple A, and he had, I believe, 5 homers in the last week, 2 yesterday. And then you see that horrible, you know, double play to end the game yesterday. The White Sox version of the 10th, and then they lose. I just don't understand why he's not getting the nod. Why not just bring him up and let him play and deal with it? It just feels like I'm not a huge Tim Elko guy, but when a guy's putting up numbers like that, I think he's trying to send you a message, and you said there's a help wanted sign. Let him do it.
There is, and you know, and again, Vaughn, you know, being the number one pick that he was, and being the, you know, the one thought about run production on the team along with Robert, you know, before Carroll, and you know, hopefully Montgomery and some of the others come up from the minor leagues, you know, relatively soon. But the idea is that if you don't play Vaughn, what worth does he have to you or any other club? So I don't think that's a great answer to your question about why not Elko. You know, right now bring up anyone that's going to be, you know, have a chance to be productive, even though he hasn't played in the major leagues. I don't think I have a good argument for you other than the fact that they have to get Vaughn going. They have to get Robert going. Robert showed some signs, you know, over the last 4 or 5 days of some productivity and possibilities. You know, Vaughn is just, you know, it's a mystery to me, you know, how, you know, you go from being the number one young player in the organization and the hope of power and, you know, a middle of the order hitter to where he's at right now. I just don't understand the lack of production and the lack of being able to help him out.
Julian Merriweather was a little shaky last night, Bruce, for the Cubs out of the bullpen. Ryan Pressly got it done, but I think everybody kind of held their breath. Who in the Cubs bullpen do you trust the most?
I think Mason Miller. Oh, wait, he's not
in. He's not there yet. He's not there yet. He's too busy setting the White Sox down in order.
So let me ask you a question, both of you, this question, and that is, if the Cubs have the minor league players to trade, are you going after a starting pitcher? Are you going after, you know, you're going to the Twins? Are you saying, you know, we'll give you 2 or 3 players for Lopez? Or are you going the route of Mason Miller? Because you probably don't have the wherewithal to trade for more than one quality arm. Which way would you guys go?
If Mason Miller's available, you're all in on him. Right?
I mean, I would think so, but your starting pitching needs you know, a little bit more length. You know, you got Lopez, who's a dominant 1 or 2 pitcher that's going to be available. Minnesota is going nowhere. You know, Oakland, formerly being Oakland, now the A's, they're actually playing good ball. Of course, they've won 5 out of 6 from the White Sox. So you know, are they in the mode of trading? Unless you really overload and give them a package that they just can't say no to. He's one of the dominant closers in the game. We've known that. We've seen it for 2 years.
The starting equivalent to that would be Sandy Alcantara in Florida. If he's not coming or on the market, then you go to Mason Miller. You start high, you aim high, and then you settle.
Right. I think the conversation is this. How much are the Cubs willing to go to win in 2025? You know, you see the opportunity there. You see that they can win this division. And how much further do you want to go with this team? How much inventory do you put toward it? And, you know, what is your future after 2025? You know, signing the big player, being able to continue to bring young players up, which the organization has done a good job of with young players, you know, over the last couple of years. So where are you at? How many of those young players in the system are you willing to trade?
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing is, they've got enough prospects to get anyone they want, anyone.
And you've made that determination, Bruce. You've answered your question. It's a very good one right now, but you got to keep reminding everybody. Kyle Tucker being here answers the question about what you want to do in 2025.
That's right.
It does, and it will. And, you know, Tucker, to his credit, you know, beyond the Chicago media had to answer, you know, Fox questions on Saturday, ESPN questions on Sunday.
Right.
And he's the most affable guy. He's not afraid of a question. He's a really easy guy to talk to, just like he is to watch. You know, that just, you know, he's just a baseball player, but he's not saying, no, you know, I have to concentrate on baseball. He says, well, we'll see what happens.
He's not saying much.
He said it from the beginning of spring training, or actually the Cub convention. It hasn't changed. This is just a very consistent guy on and off the field. If they came to him with $500 million, he'd say, you know, I'm pretty good.
He answered all of your Matt Spiegel questions. That was good stuff.
Yeah, I was paid extra for that.
Were you really? Good man.
Well,
no, that was good.
You know,
he said that he and Hap, you know, he was like doing a homage to Happer, so that's a good thing. Means he wants to play with that guy, right?
You couldn't find a more, you know, easygoing guy and at the same time a competitor and a killer on the field. You know, he's everything you want in a ball player, and, you know, the fan base and, you know, us and, you know, sports radio, we're clamoring for them to get get him. And I don't think they feel any different. I just don't know if the mechanism is there right now for him to say, yeah, let's sign that $500 million contract and move on. I mean, he's five months away from free agency. You know, he can talk to all 29 teams. Doesn't that really make more sense for him?
Yeah. Good stuff,
Great
Bruce.
Great stuff, Bruce.
All right, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Have a great day.
You too.
That is Bruce Levine. Always fun to talk to Bruce.
He's right. Tucker's in no hurry.
No.
Everybody wants him to answer the question.
Nor should he be.
Nor should he be. We have to ask, and he has to evade, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
And he can just keep swinging, and people can keep comparing him to Ted Williams.
Boy, I mean.
That was something?
Yeah, I just don't know enough about Ted. You know, I know.
The swing ever.
I understand that, and I know that I'm the elder statesman of the group, but I wasn't around for Ted Williams, David. I mean, how old are any of us, really? I thought he had more Ty Cobb to him.
That's why they did a documentary. That's why they did a documentary.
I know.
And that's why they asked Kyle Tucker to use his swing.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
I mean, every draft has like just pockets that you just don't fall into.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the man out of pocket. That is Ryan Poles, the general manager, describing why perhaps they didn't get to a couple of positions we were expecting them to get to a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I think when you draft, you have to be ready for the unexpected. And I don't think that anybody in the Bears draft room, or maybe I shouldn't put it that way, the availability of Luther Burden III at 39 in the second round probably came as a surprise to many because of where he was ranked, where he was on their board, and what the league thought of his talent. Now, he dropped for reasons that are maybe unrelated to football, reasons that his coach, Eli Drinkwitz, had to address or was aggressively addressing earlier in April. He went on the Rich Eisen show. He did some other interviews because there was a perception that Luther Burden had an attitude problem.
Yes.
And that he was a complainer about his role. His numbers were diminished from 2023 to 2024 because of quarterback situation. And Eli Drinkwitz, their coach at Missouri, went out and said he's never been arrested. He's never been an attitude issue. He's never done anything except for been the consummate teammate. And I think so when you fall into pockets, sometimes you fall into good pockets. And I think the Bears feel like, okay, that was a situation they couldn't pass up. Too good to be true. Luxury item. But they bought it. Rather than going left tackle as we maybe thought they would or expected them to. Maybe also because the running back they wanted wasn't there. Or both of the running backs weren't there because they went ahead. The two Ohio State kids weren't on the,
right.
the board. So there are good reasons to justify doing what they did. It just came as a surprise because we were led to believe, or at least we were talked ourselves into, this idea that they needed left tackle, running back, defensive line help.
Well, I mean, we didn't create that from whole cloth.
No, I know.
I mean, they did need those things.
And to some degree, you know, they haven't addressed fully the left tackle conundrum or issue. No. Even though they got a tackle in the second round, it is different, guys. I mean, we're getting a lot of pushback on the text line. There's nobody who's criticizing the pick or the professional future of Ozzy Trapillo from Boston College. It's a great story. He's a tremendous prospect. But if we're talking in terms of need, it's not somebody who's looking at, you know, a plug-and-play left tackle, which is, I think, what we were talking about going into the draft.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there is no, I'm going to continue to say what I was saying. I really thought that the draft was going to be more about winning the line of scrimmage. I thought they needed more help.
In the trenches. You said it.
And frankly, David, I'm a little disappointed that they didn't come out with more help in the trenches. And that is just my reaction to the draft. It doesn't mean these guys aren't going to be great players and great Bears and have a great season. It just means when you looked at their football team, you thought, well, they got to come out with this, and they didn't. And then when they got to it, they got players who may be great Bears. I'm not diminishing anyone's abilities, but I do think it's different saying, well, now the seventh round pick can really wreak havoc on the league,
well,
as opposed to, you know, are they going to trade up?
It's a great example of what the next point, I think, is. Because you mentioned Kyle Manungay.
Yes.
And Manungay is somebody who could make the Bears roster, could contribute in a meaningful way to change the running game. And we use Isaiah Pacheco from the Chiefs, who's also a seventh-round pick out of Rutgers. But I think the difference in expectation is that, well, in Chicago, you're skeptical of that happening because Ryan Poles has not earned the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
In Kansas City, there's almost an expectation that it will happen because you have Andy Reid and Brett Veach, who are guys who have taken advantage of or gotten the most out of projects. And you trust that organization more than you trust the Bears.
Pacheco is playing with the best quarterback in the league. And he was establishing himself as such when Pacheco came aboard. I don't know if we're there yet with Caleb. And we're talking about protecting him and creating something.
You're not.
That's all. Exactly. So I think there's nothing wrong with saying what we said. All right. We've got we got a lot to get to. We're going to talk more football next. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.